Hey everybody, welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls, episode 3. I'm Zena Dixon from RealQueenOfHorror.com, and I'm here with Ashley Blackwell from Graveyard Chip Sisters.
Hello, everybody.
Today, we're going to be doing something pretty awesome. We're going to be discussing the best doll horror films, and then next, we're going to discuss Gallows Walkers, which was released in 2012. So, before we dive into that, was there anything new that you watched this week, Ashley?
Last night, I was trying to watch that movie. I think it's called The Mirror. And it's on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was found footage. I just saw it on, and I just, again, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I've mentioned it before to other people. I sometimes watch something before I fall asleep at night. I'll just put something on, and hopefully it'll keep my attention long enough to get through all of it, but, you know. Whether I'm tired or not, like, some movies will really, like, take me out of my stupor, and I'm super into it, but I think it was called The Mirror. I honestly don't remember. It wasn't that remarkable, to be quite honest. I kind of see the angle it was trying to go to. It was doing that kind of slow burn horror that doesn't really, like, jump at you. Mm-hmm. It was doing things really subtly and really eerily, and I appreciated that, but at the same time, it just wasn't, like, it wasn't really my cup of tea. But I was more interested in how cool the apartment looked than the actual story that was going on. I was like, I kind of want that apartment myself, but, you know, being silly. And that's the freshest thing in my mind right now as far as what I've watched.
So I remember seeing that on Netflix. They just added that, right?
I think so.
Okay.
They added a lot of stuff. They added something. I don't want to say anything, because I'm excited about it. I'm probably going to use it for Friday Night Horror, but they added one particular movie that I wished I knew about, because I would have, you know, made it this month instead of next month. But next month, I like to do my Friday Night Horror. I like to announce it on the first day of each month, but I don't like to, like, say anything ahead of time. Like, I kind of like to keep things kind of a secret and kind of, like, you know, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I just noticed, like, a surge of different films that they put on there, and I'm just like, oh man, I wish I would have known. But anyway, so what did you watch?
I didn't really watch anything brand new. I did remember seeing that movie you were talking about on Netflix, and I was thinking about watching it, but I watched something on Hulu last night. It was Howling Part 6.
I
like the soundtrack, though. It's so cheesy and ridiculous, but the soundtrack, it has, like, such a cool theme song to it. So I kind of just rewatched it. It's been, like, probably a couple of years since I've seen it anyway, but
is that the carnival one, or is it another one?
It's another one. It's the one with the couple who's in the woods, and I mean, they're always in the woods, but it's the one with the couple, and she's a writer, and there's, like, old people screaming at her, but they're not really there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one, and I really just like two of the Howling sequels, like, for better or worse. They're not good movies, but mm-hmm. I do enjoy watching them.
Yeah.
But the other ones, yeah, not so much.
Okay, how about we dive into this best doll horror films list?
Before we do, I did want to say something. I wanted to mention The Seven Magpies. It's going to be a horror anthology written and directed by an African-American woman.
Oh.
I'm very, very, very excited. Lucy Cruel, she contacted me and said, you know, hey, I have this idea and I want to get some other Black women on board, and we'll do this horror anthology thing. And so I am super excited about, you know, helping spread the word and, you know, seeing the idea flourish. So far, you know, writers like Tannery Blue, you know, other directors and writers, they're all on board. I can't think of everyone's names right now. I apologize, but I did want to mention it. Guys, if you want to stay on top of this, it's still in the very early planning stages, and they're getting things together as far as, you know, acquiring people who are going to be directing and writing and getting that all secured. But you can follow them on Twitter at The Seven Magpies. Also, they have a Facebook page right now. It's facebook.com/7magpiesmovie. So definitely get on that. It's I mean, I'm just excited about it. I want to mention it.
That sounds awesome.
We'll be back with we'll be talking Dahar, everybody.
Yes.
So I'm not a Dahar expert, but it's been interesting. I've heard a couple of conversations about dolls. My friend Emily Intravia, she has a blog, and she's talked about, she does the whole doll theme very well. She knows it, you know, she's kind of a pro at it. I heard her talk on another podcast with Miguel Rodriguez, I believe his name is, a long time ago, and they had this really lengthy discussion about a little like dolls and horror, and I thought it was really cool. And you know, I just randomly thought of this idea. I thought it'd be a cool discussion to have. And upon doing just some, you know, research and looking at things, you know, I've always like I enjoy mostly like Full Moon movies, like the Charles Band and stuff, because he's known for that, Puppet Master, Demonic Toys, Doll Man, all of those things.
Yeah.
But I've also found it really interesting that quite a few films, and just general real life circumstances are, you know, they inspire some of the horror films that we love. In particular, too, of course, the most recent one is Annabelle, and that's everyone who is interested in that story kind of knows the background of how Annabelle came to be. What I found really interesting about Annabelle was even, you know, long after the whole incident of the of what happened with those two women and the guy, who actually were the first people to encounter Annabelle as a harmful kind of conduit for what essentially was an evil spirit or a demon, you know, whether you believe in that stuff or not. There was another story where it was actually in the case in the Warrens' a house, and I read a story, and it was a couple. And it was a guy and a girl, and they, you know, they were going on a tour because this is when the Warrens were kind of allowing it. So they were actually in the basement that they actually had with all of the stuff. And so the guy goes up to the doll, starts taunting it and telling it to, you know, do harm to him. He's basically, you know, kind of doing the whole dare thing. And apparently Ed Warren kicked him out because I'm just like, you know, that's just, you know, not cool. So apparently a couple of hours later, they were both in a car accident because I think he had a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
They were in a car accident, and this guy died. And his girlfriend was in the hospital for a year. So, and I was like, I mean, clearly it could be a coincidence. Maybe not. Who knows? But it was just, I mean, that's deep to me. I love stuff like that. I'm such a sucker. And also, the other big story about a doll was the Robert the Doll. Do you know about that, Zena?
No.
You know about Robert the Doll? I believe they said it was like 4 feet tall or something like that, and it's like dressed as a sailor. And you know about the story? I think it was woman from the Caribbean. She gave it to the child of the family that she took care of or whatever, and apparently the doll was possessed, and like the neighbor saw it move around in the house, and the kid claimed that the doll talked to him. I think the doll actually tried to do something to him. I don't remember the full story, but there's also, but when the family, no, I think the doll stayed with the kid until it became an adult and he passed away. And in the house, the doll still stayed there. And then another family moved in, and then the little girl took kind of possession of the doll. You know, she, like, you know, made a doll part of her kind of toy collection or whatever. And I think the doll actually tried to, I think she would tell her parents that the doll, you know, would tell her they wanted to kill her, like all kinds of just crazy stuff. And so apparently that doll was the inspiration for Child's Play.
Okay.
So I didn't know any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. When I was doing my research, I found it really fascinating. I just didn't know. Did you know any more about Annabelle or...
I know some things about Annabelle. I did do a write-up on my site about the doll maybe about a year ago. I know that the doll was given to a girl from her mother for her graduation. It was like a graduation gift. I think that she was graduating from nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
The girl and her roommate, like, they knew that the doll, they were suspecting that the doll was haunted, but they just thought that the doll wanted to be their friends or that it was lonely because I think that they... they brought it to someone and that's what they told them. Fast forward, then it started to do some other things. Like they would come home, like say it would be on the bed, and they would come back, it would be on the floor, sitting down in certain positions, or they'll find like a pen in its hand. Like it was some freaky stuff. But I don't know if it was trying to like actually kill her as far as it goes with that.
Mm-hmm. As far as my knowledge, I don't think it was trying to kill her. The suggestion in The Conjuring was that it was trying to possess her. Stories I read online, kind of the same suggestion. There was also other instance where I forget one of those girls, one of their boyfriends or fiancés, like he lives with them for a while, and like the doll actually attacks him. His story was a force attacked him when he was in the doll's presence. So I think it was, you know. It posed a threat to, he posed a threat to it. Mm-hmm. If we were, to, you know. And so I kind of talk about these things because a lot of people don't believe in spirits, don't believe in this stuff. Mm-hmm. I personally do. And again, like I said, like these stories, they do get to me. And I'm like, wow, really? You know, call me gullible, whatever. If someone is firm and is not, you know, BSing, and they really feel like something happened to them, I believe them, you know, for better or worse.
I'm sorry, I was still just stuck on the Annabelle story because you're right with that guy who was dating her or was a friend.
Yeah.
I remember reading and they said that he didn't like the doll and there was just something about the doll and he would always tell the girl who owned it, no, you should get rid of it or something like that. So I think that's why she found him as a threat. And he even said that the doll attacked him, like physically mm-hmm, right. attacked him. Like that is some scary stuff, but it is interesting. Like you said,
yeah, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like child's play funny. Like
yeah, no,
it's
no.
You know, it's really funny. Cause I mean, I think the first small toy movie for me and for a lot of people, of course, was Child's Play. And there's something about like pint-sized villains. Like, and I used to, because my mother, because I was always, like, not actively watching the movies, but they were on, and my mother was watching them. And so, my mother's, you know, I think of my mother's weird sense of humor in that sense, where, especially as an adult, like, when she would see, like, sort of like Leprechaun is a good example, but, like, also in Child's Play, when, like, Chucky would attack someone.
Yeah.
She would crack up laughing. And so, like, that kind of, it kind of informed my sense of humor about things too, especially when you see when the camera angle is kind of far, or it's like there's no close up. It's like if you see Chucky like dangling from someone, yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
when you're a kid, it's a little bit terrifying, but you know, I think my other, I think my next question for you, Zena, is, did you ever play with dolls when you were a kid? Like, did you like dolls?
I absolutely love dolls. I love them. Not just Barbie dolls. I think I had very few Barbie dolls, but you remember the little baby dolls with the movable eyeballs, flickery eyeballs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I love them. Used to play with them all the time. And it's crazy because I remember watching like horror movies with dolls in it. And there was one particular movie, which I'm sure we'll probably talk about it later, where I actually wanted to have that doll. And I remember watching that movie and I think I was like, 5 years old or so, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I remember I wanted that doll, despite it being evil. I don't know.
Which movie was it, do you remember?
It was Dolls.
Oh, okay, okay,
Dolls,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
And Dolly Dearest.
Is that, Dolly Dearest was the red dress and brown hair, was that?
Yes.
Is that the word?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was so bad.
It was, but I really like. Don't ruin my dreams, Ashley. What about you? Were you a fan of them?
So I don't remember, but my mother said that Teddy Ruxpin. I used to cry. Like I didn't like. She was gonna buy me one, but I think I was around one once, and the way it moved and talked, I just made me cry. Apparently, but But I did. It's funny because I did really, really love teddy bears, though. And I think just because Teddy Ruxpin, probably because it moved, I didn't like it or sang. But generally, dolls, yeah, I did like them. I think one of the things I remember loving was I loved having Ken dolls. I loved, I had a Jen Barbie doll. As far as, like, baby dolls, I wasn't, like, a connoisseur of them. I think my favorite doll in that sense was my Kenya doll, which I got.
Oh, my gosh, I remember her!
And I was a little bit older. I think I love the fact that, like, that doll came in, like, 3 different shades. So I'm like, oh, I can have a doll and it can look like me.
Yes!
Like that, yeah.
I love that, too.
Yeah. So that was a big doll for me. That was, the dolls that I mentioned were the ones that I really liked and were pretty attached to. Other than that, I liked stuffed animals. Stuffed animals were more of my jam, so.
Oh.
So that's how it is. Because I'm whatever it is between a tomboy and an ultra feminine woman. I guess I always have been. So kind of a little bit of both. But I guess to counter our love for dolls, like was there ever a doll you were afraid of, or were you afraid of ever dolls, period?
No, honestly, when it came to dolls, no. Not really. I don't remember ever really being afraid of them. I think I just really liked them. Even with Chucky, like how you sing about your mom, how she was, you know, laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that's how I was because he's so small. Like, come on.
He was so small.
So, but no, like I don't, when it came to dolls and teddy bears, clowns, maybe, like, especially mm-hmm. the clown from the Poltergeist. But other than that, no, that nothing really. I was a pretty weird kid. Like, I wanted to, like, hang out with them. So.
It's so funny, too, because what about that clown doll? Oh, yeah, because the new Poltergeist, all the commercials that are coming out and stuff. Is it just me, or are you getting the feeling that they're showing, like, the quote best scenes of Poltergeist in the trailers?
I feel like they are. And like, because I was saying, wow, this actually looks pretty good. But I'm like, you know, sometimes when you actually go and see the movie, when you finally watch it, it's just like, okay, I saw that coming. What about all the other stuff? You know, and it's just, I have a feeling that it is going to be just like that. Like everything that's shown in the trailer, like that's it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed. It's a useless remake to begin with. and then they make the clown. It's like because I feel like because and honestly, this is one of the cases where I feel like the remake is truly for, you know, the generation behind us,
right,
and so forth, because. We already had those impactful moments for us, and this was long before the internet, and so we remember how the doll terrified some of us, and remember how when that guy had an illusion of his face coming off. Like, everyone has that scene in Poltergeist to just freak them out and change their lives. All of us do, and so, like, I feel like the kids who didn't see the older Poltergeist and didn't grow up with it, like, this movie's for them, and I don't know, I guess, you know. I hope they enjoy it. I don't know if I will. I'm not completely going to write it off, but I also don't have to. Like, I'm not totally writing it off, but I'm not totally excited about it either. So.
Will you go to the theaters to see it or no?
Only if my two buddies in Jersey want to go see it. Like, because they have this way of, I let them twist my arm. Like, you know, voluntarily, like, I'm happy to have any kind of, like, horror experience with them. But I'm probably not going to go out and see it myself. I'll probably just wait. But if they're like, yeah, let's go see Poltergeist, I'm like, all right, sure.
Yeah. I'm not too sure what I want to do. Because I feel like the last couple of times I've been going to, like, the movie theaters to see some horrors, it hasn't been, like, the greatest experience.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then even with this one, it's like, you know, like, first off, when you go to the theaters, like, you have those teenagers in there. Not just the teenagers, but it's especially them that are in there screaming at stuff that's not even happening, on their phones, just, you know, giggling. And it's just, I just want to watch the movie. You know, I don't want to hear, I would have ran. Like, who cares what you would have did? So, I don't know. That's my biggest issue. But, I mean, if I were supposed to go see it, I think I'd probably go see it, like, as a matinee, because that's like $5. I don't mind spending five.
All the grown folks are are going to go to a matinee.
Yeah.
Try, if possible. When I saw Unfriended, that wasn't too bad at all. That was pretty chill for a Saturday evening movie.
Oh, really?
I was surprised, but
wow.
Happy. Also, yeah, I agree about younger people. There's two instances where I saw Jennifer's Body, and the two, they were young, and the two people were, like, further, closer to the screen, they were snapping pictures the entire movie. So all you saw was flash, flash, flash from a camera phone every 5 minutes. I was livid. And then when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, it just, everything was just funny. And I was angry, but that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
Okay.
But basically, yeah, it's kind of like the nature of, you know, it really depends. Audience, it depends. It really does, but, you know. back to dolls. Let's get back to dolls. Okay, so Xena, a doll themed horror film, like, what's one of your favorites, or what do you think, which one do you think is one of the best out of all of them?
Any order, it doesn't matter what year.
It doesn't matter the order, yeah.
Okay. I know that a lot of people are going to disagree about this movie, and I think that we had a discussion on it, but I'll just, you know. I'm going to say Dead Silence. First off, the way it was filmed back then, even though it's like, even say 2007, it doesn't seem that long ago, but obviously so many things have changed. There are so many movies that were completely mocking the style of it. This movie had everything I ever dreamed of. It was like a supernatural, like psychological horror.
Mm-hmm.
Starts off with this couple. The main guy, I think his name was like Jamie. He used to be on True Blood. And his wife, they get this kind of like a doll, like a ventriloquist doll in
mm-hmm.
the mail. And they don't know who it's from or whatever. So it basically had like this poem in it that his wife read regarding a myth about a woman named Mary Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sucker for movies that can get creative as far as it goes with, like, myths. There are some movies where it's like, of course they try and, like, they just fail horribly. Anyway, this doll, basically, he comes, you know, in the package or whatever, and, you know, his wife is messing around with it. Well, first, have you ever seen the movie?
I only saw the first act. I haven't watched
it. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't finished it.
Well, Billy, the doll that they received, that was the doll's name, obviously. He's not the only doll that came from this whole myth from Mary Shaw. I can tell this because it's not really giving a spoiler. The story behind Mary Shaw is she could never have children. And so she would always put on like puppet shows, and she was famous for her puppet shows and everything like that. Because she couldn't have children, she would make these dolls. Like, she made about 100 dolls. Maybe, I think they probably said maybe 105. I'm not too sure. But one day when she was performing on stage, you know, you can clearly see her mouth moving like she's talking as the doll. But, you know, people are entertained. People are having a good time. But then there's this one little boy who basically like, oh, I can see your mouth moving. Like, you know, pretty much trying to like make her seem like a ripoff or whatever. Fast forward, because the boy was making fun of her and, you know, the boy goes missing. When Mary Shaw died, she wanted to be pretty much turned into a puppet. And the tale is, after she died, if you were supposed to see her, she wants to steal your tongue. So if you scream, like say if you're just in the dark and you just see her just staring at you, like people would scream. And then that's when she would rip out their tongue. Like that was the tale of Mary Shaw, you can say. I mean, it goes deeper into that. But there's, you know, there's a lot of puppets in it. There's even like a clown doll in it. There are so many creepy dolls in there. So I highly recommend the movie if you love doll like films and you actually want to be scared, because this movie actually freaked me out. And I mean, you already know with the amount of horror that we watch, it's kind of hard to achieve that. I think if I was supposed to watch it now, I think I'd be fine because so many people have done it. But because back then it wasn't done like the way it was, the story was told. It was just, I don't know. I just really, really, really loved it. And it was, for me, it's just like one of the best doll horror movies. Well, modern doll horror movies that I've seen.
No, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I didn't finish it. I don't know why or how. I've been doing that a lot. past couple of months, just some movies I start and just don't get around to finishing it for whatever reason. But yeah, I think for me, the way I look at kind of, if you're talking about best or whatever, quote unquote, and mostly in particular for this discussion, I was thinking about the movies that had like the biggest impact culturally. Mm-hmm. I think I'll just, you know, say, for example, just American culture, not just even global. You know, what's kind of a, quote, household name? Like, everyone knows who Chucky is.
Right,
For the most part. So I think my next one is clearly, we couldn't have a discussion without going more into Child's Play from 1988. Again, it was one of those movies. I talk about this a lot. It was one of those movies for me that, you know, my mother was watching, and I just happened to be in the room, or I just happened to kind of, you know, be around. Like, I don't think she would have felt 100% comfortable with me ever actually sitting down and watching a horror movie at, like, I guess, if Child's Play came out in 88, and we're watching it on TV, so it was probably 89, I was 7? I don't remember. I'm terrible at math, sorry.
So
I was maybe 7, 8 years old, and, you know, I was kind of like, you know, again, watching it, but not actively watching it. So, and I do remember it terrifying me. I think the mythical idea of what is basically a toy that is dangerous, that is like, you know, actively, like, you know, supernaturally dangerous, really kind of unnerves me. I think for me, the biggest part of the story was, I think always, was seeing kind of single motherhood and mm-hmm. seeing how difficult it was. You know, it's funny because I think Child's Play plays with a lot of different elements for me. So for me, that was the biggest impact because I grew up, you know, in a single parent home, and I was the only child for a very, very long time. So I think I identify with Andy, and I think, you know, it really kind of touched my heart. in some kind of a way, because, you know, you see this lonely kid and he gets this doll and he's always wanted, and the doll basically wants to possess him. I mean, it's kind of sad. Like, it's taking advantage of his trust. And so for me, that was like the big, like, oh, I feel for Andy so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about Child's Play, and I like the fact that it does it. That's what really makes it a good horror film, because it exploits that innocence, and it wants to destroy it, and that's really, really cool. And I think, and maybe that's one of the reasons why it has so many sequels. And I honestly do like the sequels. I like Bride of Chucky. I like Seed of Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're entertaining, and Chucky has stood the test of time, and even the most recent one. What's it called? The Curse of Chucky?
I think that it is.
Did you see that
one? I did see that one, actually. And did you see it?
I loved it.
I loved it as well. Like, I'm glad that he's no longer a joke. Like,
yeah.
But okay, we agree on that.
I like funny Chucky is cool with me, but also I like how they brought it back with Fiona Dorff, Brad Dorff's mm-hmm. daughter.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. So, yeah, so Child's Play is one of mine.
You know what I thought was pretty cool about the whole, even with the first one and then the whole series, it's just that the fact that this serial killer, yeah, even though, yeah, he's in a doll, but he was a serial killer, but he's like into voodoo. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's pretty awesome. Like, I mean, I wish that they would, like, make that into, like, a bigger part of the movie. I know that it is, like, because he's always going back to it. But because it just seems so, it doesn't seem as important. Like, people just think, oh, he just wants to, you know, he just wants his soul. But it's just, he's doing voodoo, you know, like, that's freaky.
Yeah, it's almost... I almost kind of appreciate that they held back. Like, they could have mm-hmm. did an origin story. Like, where does this curse come from? However,
right.
It's been done to death to a certain extent. Like, especially with black folks in horror, it's like there's always this tie to voodoo, and it's mm-hmm. always evil, and that's always a highly contested kind of debate, you know, of black participation in horror films, because they always go back to voodoo, and voodoo is always evil, and there are people who actually practice it, and it's not, you know, it's And I think the approach, if correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who's listening, but it's kind of like a bounce. I mean, the actual practice of the religion, or if that's even the right word, is basically like if there's good and there's evil, it's not all mm-hmm. one thing,
right?
And
right.
I think, you know, how especially in Hollywood films, it's always voodoo, is always evil, and there's always a black person behind it, especially a woman. So
yeah, oh my god.
Yeah, maybe the restraint from that is good. I know there was a very very minor black male character in the first Child's Play, but they didn't like over-exploit that. So
yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that's what freaks me out about it, is that the fact that there are people who actually do it. Like, they practice voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
And just with them even mentioning it in, you know, Child's Play, that's pretty cool. Like, and you are right about it. It is mostly black women, because remember that Tales from the Crypt movie, Ritual? Made in Jamaica.
I didn't finish that one either, because I was just like, this is kind of dumb.
I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, it had some stupid parts, but I thought it was kind of cool though. But that's instant. Automatically, whenever I think about voodoo movies,
mm-hmm.
I think about like that movie Ritual.
Yeah, wasn't like Craig Sheffer in that movie and stuff? The guy from Nightbreed.
Yes. He was in it. Mm-hmm. He has a pretty big role in it. But
he did some real bad. Like, he did that Dracula. He did one of those Dracula sequels. And, oh, God, man. Hellraiser sequel. Okay, we won't get into that. But
I mean, the only one I remember him for that only counts to me is Nightbreed.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's like, I'll forgive him for the other stuff.
But, yeah. But anyway, what's your next movie, Dina?
Okay, so my next movie is the one that she was making fun of. Dolly Dearest. It went straight to video, but I really liked it. I remember seeing this movie as a kid. I think I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And it's basically about this family. They moved to Mexico because, like, the father of the family, he becomes, like, the owner of this doll factory called Dolly Dearest in Mexico. It has some myths, once again, like myths kind of stories with the Mexican culture. I think, well, maybe like the Mayan culture. It's been a while since I watched it, but basically the little girl, she gets to have this doll that her, you know, because her dad owns the factory now, so she got to pick out a doll, and the doll, she was very ugly. So it's just like, I don't understand why the little girl was so attracted. Like, she wasn't like a cute little, like a cute doll. Like, her face was kind of like crusty and her hair was dry. Like, I don't know. Like, as a little girl, like, I remember seeing the doll and I thought that she was kind of like, oh, I wouldn't want her. But then, because she was like, you know, moving around, like, the doll was basically evil. And the only person who seemed to know was their housekeeper, Camilla, because she was from the country and she knew the story. Yeah. So she was kind of like that old, mysterious person who knows everything. Like, there's always someone like that in horror movies. Have you noticed that? Like,
yes, of course.
Jesus. Anyway, you know, yeah, she tries to tell the family, and of course they don't, you know, listen to her. Then basically, because of the doll, it starts to affect, like, the little girl who has the doll. Like, she's just completely turning into something else. The little girl's name was Jessica. I wanted to say Bethany. Bethany and Jessica, that doesn't even sound close, but I liked it, like I said, because it kind of plays with real life cultures. Like, mm-hmm. I always think that it's interesting what people believe. Sometimes, you know, it can be really extreme, but they, like, even when we were talking about with people who don't believe in spirits or something like that, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't fully know the culture, like the Mayan culture or anything like that. One of the facts in this movie was that the fact that with this doll, they would call it like a devil child. And that's basically what that little girl was turning into. Like, she was turning into, like, a completely different person. I mean, she even tries to, like, kill her family. And she's, like, a little girl, maybe, like, 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, nobody wants to do anything to her because she's a little girl and they're related to her. Obviously, no one suspected, oh, that's the doll who's evil and that's the reason why she's acting like that. It was pretty cheesy and predictable, especially now, but it's a bit more, I want to say, lighthearted than Child's Play.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that extreme. Like, I would rather take this doll on than Chucky.
Right. Yeah, my last choice basically is I picked Puppet Master from 1989. Obviously, again, that's one of those Full Moon. I would say that that's the flagship Charles Band Full Moon Features film. What did I say about it? I mean, basically, I was looking into Charles Band again because I know a lot of people ask him about, like, are you afraid of dolls? Why dolls? Why are you so fascinated with them? And he's basically not afraid of them, but he kind of, like, he loves special effects, so he likes kind of playing with the idea of, I think one of his bigger influences was Ray Harryhausen, who did, like, my fellow geeks are going to come for me. I don't remember which movies Ray Harryhausen is known for, and I just saw the documentary, so forgive me, guys. But, the special effects with the skeletons and moving around and stuff. Jason and the Argonauts, is that it?
I mean, honestly, people are going to be mad at me because I'm not too sure, yeah.
But basically, he's a fan of special effects, and he just likes the idea of dolls. I think he just likes the aesthetic approach. So, Puppet Master is a one for me. Again, not a good movie. I own it. Thank you, Jamel. She sent it to me in the mail. She sent me the Blu-ray that she got from a horror block she got not too long ago.
Aww.
But basically, for Puppet Master, for me, again, what sells the movie are the dolls in it. It's Blade. I have like a little Blade stuffed animal. Blade's not an animal, but like a little stuffy, like a little plushy kind of a deal that I got from a horror convention. I got it last year, and I love Blade. He's so cute. But, Blade and, like, the little dog Bleaches, and of course, some other names. And then all of those little, like, tiny, like, little dolls. Like, they sell the movie. Like, that's what people remember when they talk about Puppet Master. They don't really remember the psychic characters and the people in the cast. I think it was in a castle. It's been so long since I've seen Puppet Master. I need a refresher, and I probably should have watched it. But the idea is this is a doll discussion in general. So, for me, it's really, it's really about the little creatures in this film. Like, I remember a friend of mine, the thing for him was, like, that leech woman, like, he's like, no. Like, he freaks out every time we make the Puppet Master. Yeah. So, but I think if you're talking about, like, little scary, tiny objects coming to life and wanting to kill you, that's probably one of the best movies to mention.
That is true. They were actually pretty creepy.
I just love Blade for some reason. I have, like, this weird affinity for Blade. Like, I would be his biggest ally. I know that sounds really silly, but, like, seriously, like, we could do some damage.
Yeah, he looked pretty cool, though. I always liked his little hat.
And his little, like, he's got not hands.
Yeah.
That he uses. But, yeah, his hook hands. But yeah, so
I like the jester one, the one who would spin around and like this is just like ew. But I mean, I liked it. Like I would like it propped up somewhere as display, you know.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want in my house, especially like a real life model. Like I'm good. Nope.
My next one is called The Pit, and it doesn't really involve actual doll. It involves a teddy bear. So it's basically about this 12-year-old boy, and his the kids in his class are always making fun of him all the time. I have no idea why. Like he has a bold haircut, but I don't think that's the reason why they make fun of him. I'm not too sure why they do. And his only friend that he has is like this bear, and it talks to him. His mouth doesn't move or anything. We can just hear him like talking to him. And he's 12, so he's going through puberty right now, so it's like he has like this obsession with girls, and then on top of that, his parents went away on like some kind of business trip for like I don't even remember, maybe a month or so. It's been so long since I watched the movie, but his babysitter is this college student, and she he thinks that she's really pretty, and he's pretty much in love with her, well, in lust with her, and he would just do like gross things, like if she drops her napkin, he would try and like look at her panties under the table. But you know, one day when he's in the forest, he finds like this deep pit, and it has like these creatures in it, and he gives them a name called trilologues or whatever, and they basically he try to give it food, like he'll try and give it like chips, you know, or like, you know, regular human food, and, you know, and it didn't want that, but it wanted meat. So eventually he used to buy meat for it from like the butcher store. But then he started to run out of money, and he was stealing from his babysitter and all. So he started feeding it to the people who would make fun of him. He would push them into the pit, and the little wild creatures, they would eat it. And he felt like they were his friends, and every single time he would always bring his teddy bear with him, and the teddy bear would give him advice, and it was actually the teddy bear's idea that would, you know, get like say to him, oh, why don't you feed it so-and-so, you know, it's not like anybody would miss her, that kind of thing. So it's, I don't know, looking back on it, obviously the teddy bear wasn't talking, but as the viewer, we're not seeing that, we're like, we just, or hearing that, it's basically, we hear a voice, and it's the teddy bear, and, you know, I mean, he was, like, really having, like, full-blown conversations with this bear, and the bear would answer him, they would make decisions, they would have a great time together. So, if you haven't seen the movie, like, it's not, like, all out of this world, but it's unusual, so I'll say that, it's not, like, the best movie, and it is pretty cheesy, especially the way the little boy talks, he talks kind of funny. So, I don't know. You ever seen it?
No, I've never heard of it until you mentioned it. And yeah. It's from 1981. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. This one totally passed me.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, like, missing, like, the world.
So, yeah. Did you have one more, or was it it?
Oh, I thought that you had one more.
No, I have some honorable mentions, but I think, did you have one more?
No. I mean, I can give you some, but no, I only just wrote out some.
I did have Dolls from 1987, but I don't remember. I know that's another Charles Band. I think produced.
Oh, yeah, I love that one.
But I don't remember it plot wise enough to talk about it.
You know, it's the guy who directed it, Stuart Gordon.
Right.
He did so many other awesome movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, oh my God, he's awesome.
What do you remember about it?
Well, I know it was filmed in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when it was released, but it's basically about this little girl named Judy, and she's with her father, who she barely sees, or he just doesn't care. And she's also with her stepmother, Rosemary, who's just such a snob and just can't stand being around the little girl. They're driving along, and they get into, like, I think they get stuck in the mud or something. They get stuck in a storm. So basically, they find this kind of like countryside house. It's like a gothic kind of a style of a house. And it looks all creepy. They sneak in through the basement. And there's the people who live there are like an older couple. And the guy actually makes puppets. Or makes dolls. And they get to stay for the night. And then there are also this guy named, like, he was like a bigger guy named Ralph, and like two other girls that he picked up. They were hitchhiking, and they also stay in the house. Throughout the night, like, there are so many dolls like everywhere, and the guy who owns the house, and he like makes the dolls, he give her like this kind of like a clown kind of a doll named Mr. Punch, and his head spins around because her stepmother threw it in the woods. Like, she had like a teddy bear that she threw in the woods, and like she would take that teddy bear everywhere. I don't even know what that stepmother, she was just so rude and outrageous. But yeah, but basically, I don't know, do you remember the part when the two girls, they were like hitchhikers, they were all like kind of like punk rock, they decide to like go, like, well, one of them sneaks out of their room, wait for everyone to go to sleep so they can steal some of the antiques and like sell it.
I do. Okay, yeah, you talking about it is bringing back memories. Yeah.
And yeah, she basically, like, the one who sneaks out, she gets beat up so bad by the doll. She gets her face smashed in the wall by the dolls. Like, they're, like, carrying her and smashing her. Yeah, it's a cool one. It's one of my favorites, so that's why I, like, really remember it.
Yeah, I need to revisit these movies. Mm-hmm. I've only been reading. But yeah, I need to like actually remember the scene. Because I do, because like when I mentioned dolls, and I put it down, because the only thing I remember the little girl holding the doll. Mm-hmm. And I remember her stepmom, and I remember it was raining outside. And I remember like the doll looking house. So there's like little things here and there that I remember, but not like, well, prior to getting this discussion started, like, I'm not really well versed in this, but, you know, I've seen one or two here and there. Good. But, to wrap it up, I guess I'll start, you know, to bring it in. I think my honorable mentions, of course, it's not a movie, but a television series. Everyone remembers Twilight Zone. Everyone knows about Talkie Tina. also, again, Demonic Toys is probably one I really vividly remember because, you know, again, this was like, you know, early HBO and it was on and I was old enough to watch it on my own and to, you know, really get into it. And so Demonic Toys, while a terrible movie, I love watching it. So
I love that movie too.
With the cussing baby doll and stuff.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. Before all of its cheesiness and the little kid, he's got like the demon voice. I love that movie. And what other movie did I mention? Magic from 1978 is another well-known movie with Anthony Hopkins. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another good one too. I haven't, again, it's another movie I have not finished. I know, I'm terrible, but I know it's a big one for a lot of people, and I know it's one that a lot of people remember, and that it's, you know, it's like another ventriloquist doll movie.
Mm-hmm.
With early, very young Anthony Hopkins.
You know, one I was going to mention was Tales from the Hood with that little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that freaked me out as a kid so bad. Like, just really... I'm trying to like remember like the storylines, but
I remember the storyline.
Yeah, I think it was just that one that really and the one with the bad cop. That one freaked me out. With Clarence, mm-hmm. Holy crap. As a kid, oh my God. But yeah.
When you're young, it's terrifying. It was one of those movies. Everything goes back to my mother with horror, seriously. But like Honestly, the doll part I always remember because, and it's funny, it's, I don't know, I can't say, like, black folks, especially black folks in America in general, but I feel like, as I've noticed, just from hearing conversations, you know, on other podcasts, and just me in general, there is this, we get to a point, I've gotten to a point where, you know, especially in films, when someone's racism is so old school and outrageous, it's almost hilarious.
Yes.
Norman Bernson's like reaction to these dolls and the way they're screwing with his mind and the use of like the words that he's using.
Yes.
It's pretty funny. And
it
I remember
is.
I'll never forget. I was in my mom's bedroom, she's watching it, and because I was actually watching with her, it was cool. So I think I was like around 10 or 11 when this movie was on VHS. But like the part where he's like, "I'm scared of you, niggas."
Yeah, that's exactly.
Fell out of her bed, clapping, and I was just like, it's funny. Like you get it's that weird.
That's exactly what I thought was funny.
I mean, it's that. And I've heard people use that term before, or they're using it and like telling a story and how funny they find that term, and it's really funny because it's like it's little like you know slave little dolls that are like that are screwing with this racist white guy's head,
yeah.
And they're basically messing with them and breaking them down so they could like kill him in the end. And his reaction to them, he's using his white man racist linguistics to see if he can get the best of him, and it doesn't. It's just really, really hilarious.
It is.
But I would agree. When I was younger, and the climax of that story was really terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like because you saw the one, and then it was when it was more of them, and when that old woman appeared, I was thrilled. I was like,
all
oh
right,
my god!
Right?
But yeah, I mean, I think Tales from the Hood. I'm glad you mentioned it because I did see it in passing. Just doing the reading that I could, just to have kind of a very relaxed conversation here. But yeah, I remember it being mentioned before. But I definitely think that's a good, because essentially that's a short film, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a good one, and it's definitely an effective one. I think I don't know how people. I don't know. I know how I felt about it, and you clearly have expressed it as well. So, but that's definitely a good honorable mention for sure.
Yes. Just some other ones. I'll just quickly go through it. May.
Yeah.
That's a good one. A not so good one. Pinocchio's Revenge. Oh my God. I was watching that last night, I think, or maybe the night before. It's just this cheesy, straight-to-video movie. And, of course, Tourist Trap. Even though they were kind of more of mannequins, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, what was in Tourist Trap? Did they come up? I don't... Yeah, I haven't seen Tourist Trap, so...
Tourist Trap is pretty cool, and it has a really creepy soundtrack, but it was made in either 78 or 79, and I don't know. I don't know. It's a good one. I mean, it's one of my favorites. I think that's the only reason why I mentioned it. But I think that those are more of mannequins. They were more of mannequins that were in the movie. But that's kind of like dolls. I don't know. But yeah, those are the honorable mentions.
Yeah. And of course, it comes back around to, you know, for this generation, it's definitely Annabelle. Yeah.
I mean, that's unfortunate.
The movie wasn't good, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Like, I would feel robbed if I were them. Like,
so yeah. So that's it for this discussion. We'll be back with our discussion of the Owl Walkers. Most times, when you bring a man to justice, the axe swings, the noose tightens. That's it. Out here, they come back. Gallon Walkers was released in 2012. The synopsis reads, a cursed gunman whose victims come back from the dead recruits a young warrior to help him in the fight against a gang of zombies. This was directed by Andrew Goff. This was written by Andrew Goff and Joanne Ray. The stars Wesley Snipes, Kevin Howarth, and Riley Smith. So, Zena, you start. What did you think of Gallon Walkers?
I don't think it was a bad movie. It was just kind of really cheesy. There was a lot of things that I felt like didn't really fit with it. Like, the storyline was kind of like, whatever. Like, it wasn't... It was like they were trying to do something new. So it's like, kudos to them for that. But I know that in the synopsis, well, one synopsis that I've read, they call these things that come back zombies. I don't really consider them zombies. Not because they didn't look like zombies, just because their actions. They were only like, what, taking their faces? So,
Well, they just, yeah, the eye color was kind of a thing for me. I was like, what is it with the eye color?
Yeah,
That's kind of how you distinguish them.
Yeah. It's like, so I guess, like, so they were trying to do like a zombie Western, and I guess that's different, but I don't know. It kind of felt a little dry, and it, like, the storyline to me just came off weak, even though they did try. It's like, it just seemed very, very underdeveloped. Like, they just tried to, like, just put something out there. And it kind of makes sense, because I read this thing online that the film, it was actually filmed back in 2006. So, mm-hmm. It's like, now, okay, that makes so much more sense, like, so much more sense, because at first I don't understand, like, what you know, what Wesley's doing. Like, are times really that hard? I guess that they are after his whole tax thing, you know. So, and then on top of that, there was really, like, his character, Wesley Snipes' character, you know, he was a cool character. You know, I loved his outfit, the red and leather. I love the colors, and you know, leather's pretty awesome. And then even with his little beard with the white strip, mm-hmm. It looked really cool. Like, he looked like a real cool character, and he came off like, okay, it like a natural Western kind of a character. Everybody else, though, I don't I don't know where that came from, but it's like, I don't know. It, the only part that I can say that I can, that I enjoyed, the deaths and the gore, like all the blood and people's heads getting ripped off and the gunshots, like just the splatter. I mean, that was enjoyable to watch. But, you know, it just seemed dry. It seemed rushed. And on top of that, I don't know what was going on with those wigs throughout the movie. Like, I just felt so distracted. Like, I had to, like, watch the movie twice because I completely missed certain things because I'm just, like, staring at, like, what is that on your head, you know? So, but, I mean, they gave it a good try. And I guess it's memorable because it's a Western, like, movie mixed with, well, trying to be mixed with modern day zombies. So if you like those two things or you're curious for those two pieces, I recommend it. But yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. What about for you?
So my take on it, I guess at a point when I was watching it, I was trying to figure out what this movie was trying to be. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, I wrote down, you know, like, supernatural dystopia. Like, is it supposed to be, like, an alternative universe? But still kind of rooted in this old American West kind of an aesthetic. Because I did read that they filmed all of this in Namibia, which is a country in Africa.
Yeah.
Or if they filmed it in Africa and somewhere else. But they did film it there. So you got this, like, really dry, bright terrain, and obviously they took really good use of, like, you know, of the sunlight, and I think you know aesthetically it's really beautiful. Like, it's like that plain, like, white kind of sandy land with the kind of the contrast of, like, like you said, like Wesley Snipes and his red leather and, like, all of the colors that they played with. Mm-hmm. And even the way some of the characters look with, like, the bright, you know, blonde hair and things like that. Like, I thought that was, and also the eyes that really made it, that really, you know, made it pop, you know, in the foreground of some of the frames when you saw, like, those quote zombies or whatever they were, you know what I mean? Well, I guess for all intents and purposes, they were zombies. Again, I think with Gallowalkers, kind of did a dare. They dared to be really different in many different ways. I think the story was just weak. I think it was kind of it was a little disjointed, and the impact just wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, clearly Wesley Snipes is the main character, and he's the one with the story. But again, I really wasn't fully invested in, like, his story, especially his story of revenge. It just, I don't know, it just seems, yeah. It seems a little superficial, I guess, so to speak, especially because you don't really get to know his love interest, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if we had more exposition, if we saw, like, more of them really, you know, being in a relationship together, it would have an impact. It's different because I don't know why I'm thinking about John Wick, but I am. Did you see John Wick yet?
I haven't.
There's something. Okay, so I won't ruin it for you, but basically, you got more of a sense of Keanu Reeves and his. I think it was his wife in the movie. Like, and she was not in the movie for a long period of time. Without spoiling it for you,
mm-hmm.
But you felt. And maybe it's because Keanu Reeves is a better actor than Wesley Snipes. Who, like, I don't know. Maybe that's how I feel. But basically, like, there's more about Keanu and his relationship to his wife that there's more. Even though she was probably on screen less time than Wesley Snipes' female love interest was in this movie. She was on screen less time. But there's still that impact was so raw. And so you were with Keanu with this, and you were like, yeah, you were, like, rooting for him throughout the entire film. See John Wick, it is so good. But yeah, I mean, so you didn't really have that impact with Wesley Snipes, and so I think that really hurt the movie in general. So I honestly think, you know, it was I think it was well directed, I think it was well shot. Again, I could have done without the Wesley Snipes voiceovers, because again, I think, like, Wesley Snipes, and I noticed this in Blade, like, he has this kind of, like, brooding, stoic kind of, he always plays that one-note character,
mm-hmm.
Like, I am too in my feelings to be connected with anyone else. And, like, I'm like, oh, okay, dude, whatever. Like, it kind of gets annoying because, like, we've seen Wesley Snipes do this before. And especially when you don't have a strong story behind a movie, you kind of, like, you're kind of just like, okay, yeah, whatever. And that's kind of how I felt about the Skywalkers in general. But, yeah, again, I think that we needed a little bit more backstory to really be invested in, you know, the protagonist versus the antagonist in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I wanted to get to know, you know, I knew who the little kid was, but I wanted to, you know, but I thought the little kid was cute. I don't know,
yeah.
I don't know, something about cute little kids who are, like, all dirty, and they're, like, they work with their hands, and, you know, they do all kinds of, like, you know, really gritty stuff. Like, I don't know, I kind of like kids like that. I don't like pampered kids. I like kids who want to get their hands dirty, who know how to, who kind of live that rustic life. So, I mean, they're just little things I found about it that I did enjoy. Like, it did keep my attention. I don't think it was a boring movie, but I just wish it was structurally more sound. So that's kind of how I felt about it.
That was a cute little kid, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like I really didn't mind too much that they... I've seen that done before when they don't really give that much of a backstory, because automatically, since we're talking about with Wesley Snipes, in the movie Blade, I know it's not his love interest, but with his mother, we
mm-hmm.
didn't really have a full backstory with her. We just saw, like, bits and pieces. So it's just, I don't know, I just feel like it's crazy to me, because this, I had to look it up to see what the film budget was, because I had no idea that they filmed in Africa. So it's like, you guys are flying all the way out there to Africa, but you guys are having, like, you know, wigs from, like, Walmart, and, you know, remember when Wesley Snipes was bald in the movie and he had that paint
right.
on his face, but for some reason he had a little headband on? It's like, what is that? Like, I just kept on laughing every single time he would, you know, just have that, like, paint on his face with the headband. It's the headband. Like, what is that? And I know it's something so small, but it's like, you guys could have invested, you know, maybe, what's wrong with America, you know, desert? Like, because I'm just saying, though, like, because... You're taking so much money. Like, it's like, what did you guys do with all the money? Like, I'm thinking they put it all in Africa, like, going out there. And, you know, that's cool and all, but it's just, come on, Ashley. You remember the effects. You guys, come on. Like, the effects were cheesy. And it's like, honestly, I feel like if the movie, this is going to sound terrible, but I love independent movies. I really do. I love how people, they can, like, work what they have with a low budget. But what I don't like is when, you know, they don't have the money, but they're trying to do big things. So this movie, it was such a big movie, and it had, like, a great idea. But it came off cheesy. It came off cheesy because of the effects. And honestly, yeah, because of those wigs. And then the eyes. And then, you know, there was just, because, like you said, visually, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gore was good. I even thought that the acting was good. I mean, minus that girl, she was in jail in the beginning, and was the point of her?
Yeah, this movie was lacking with good female characters.
Like,
that's another thing.
Like, she had no purpose. I guess so she can have her boobs out. I mean, you always do that in horror movies, apparently, but... Like, I don't know. It's like, I kind of feel disappointed because, yeah, it's a weird mix or something like that. And, you know, I'm not saying because, you know, Wesley Snipes is in it, needs to be great. No, but I just feel like it had potential just looking back on it. Like, because it wasn't a bad movie. I didn't have a problem with watching it. It was just those little things here and there. And at first, like I said, I thought that their budget was lower. And then it's just like, you guys were in Africa. Like, I don't know. Just give me $1,000 and I feel like I can do a better movie. Like, I really do. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any... I think I've said everything I wanted to say about it. But you bring up some good points. It's funny. You always think of things I never think of. But that's a good thing.
Yeah,
definitely, for sure.
It's going to be old.
I don't know. I will say, I'm not entirely sure. Like, sometimes people film movies in certain countries, or they film it in certain locations for a myriad of reasons. I honestly don't know why they shot in Africa and not here to save costs on money. Maybe it's cheaper to sometimes, you know. Because that's what Roger Corman did. Like those old exploitation movies from like the early 70s. They shot a lot of those films in like the Philippines. Like those movies with Pam Grier and Sid Haig, you know, like Women in Cages and all those. Do you know those films? Like, did you ever see Machete Maidens, that documentary?
I haven't, no.
It's like, it's basically a movie about the women in early exploitation films, like those, like Pam Grier, when she did, you know, you remember like prison movies, and she did this one movie where she was like half human, half animal. I forget the names of them. But like, yeah, and even like Marlene Clark, when she did Night of the Cobra Woman, like those movies were filmed in the Philippines. And I remember like the biggest thing that they talked about in the documentary, like they filmed overseas because it was much, much cheaper.
Okay.
They didn't get away with doing a lot more stuff. So that might be a reason. I know times are definitely different. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yeah, because I feel like, yeah, I hear that a lot. Sometimes it's much easier to just film outside of the U.S. than it is to actually film in the U.S., especially before digital technology really took off, you know?
Right.
So that might be the case, but...
But do you feel like just even using... Because you said Women in Cages was filmed out in like a different country?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, let's use that one as an example. I've never seen this one. I only heard of it. But do you feel like it was lacking anything?
Well,
I know, despite it being from the 70s, like...
It's hard to... I honestly don't use that frame of reference when I'm watching an exploitation film, especially the older ones, because they are what... They clearly are what they are. Like, they had a clear objective. Like, they... I think the general idea of an exploitation movie is that it has a formula and it's going to follow it, whether you like it or not. Like, you know, whether you get something out of it or not, you know, see value in it, don't see value in it. Exploitation movie is what it is, so I don't think that, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but.
No, you're fine. I don't know. Like, I guess I would have to check it out. Like, because you are right about that, but it's like, my thing is, I'm just wondering, like, fine, you had to shoot it there, but it's just like, there's, I know I don't know the whole process, I'm not saying I know everything, I just find it very weird that there was other things that were majorly lacking, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it's because of the time, like, if it would have came out back in 2006... Maybe, and I would have saw it back then, maybe I wouldn't feel this way now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Since technology has changed. But even with that, I mean, that's just with the, you know, special effects that they use. But with the storyline, that still does seem, you know, rushed and all. But yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was about the story. I mean... Again, like, you see more in it than I do, clearly, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
All
I'm actually
right.
Checking on Women in Cages now, just to be sure. Let me see.
Okay.
Yeah, they filmed in the Philippines. It says U.S. and Philippines.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, I would, you know, I think this is a good time to kind of, like, generally, like, you know, so I guess overall, would you recommend it, and how do you...
If you're more of a action fan, I recommend it. What about for you?
I would concur. I don't watch Gala Walkers thinking that you're gonna get a good story. That's just my opinion, but I think if you're... I would say if you're a film student and you want to see how to shoot a really pretty movie, it's one of the good ones.
That is true.
But it's really not good for story. Again, it's really about the visuals. It's definitely it's high on visual effects and it's high on, you know, putting together wardrobe and costume and set up shots, for sure. Because I think that's what kind of kept me engaged. It was kind of the terrain, and it was the long scenes of non-dialogue and action were the thing that's what really kept me in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say about it. What's your Minority Report rating for this movie?
I'm going to give it a 2. Kincaid Token Factor.
I don't know why I came up with that name. But
I love it, though. I love saying it. So, because, okay. I don't want to blab on. What about for you?
I would give it a Sleepy Hollow Season 2. I would give it a 3. That's a 3.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, because, you know, you've got Leslie as one of the main characters, and you've got these kind of, like, you know, ancillary characters that, you know, I think the woman who took him in when he was a child, she's actually, I looked her up.
Oh, I forgot about her.
Yeah, she's Peruvian in real life, actually. She kind of looks like she's a woman of color in the film, which is why she caught my attention. And you can even consider her daughter as a person of color, the little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the other bad guys in the movie, they looked like they were of Latin descent as well. So you have, like, this really kind of interesting blend of folks. But, of course, Wesley Snipes stands out more so than anyone else. Because I found it super interesting. I don't think his character, I was watching, especially when you saw his mother in one of the scenes in the movie, I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't think his character was, like, you know, was written as a black character. I really don't. And that's fine. That's
right. Totally
cool. I have no problem with that. That's actually something I actually like when it happens, when someone is cast, you know, when somebody who's African-American is cast just because they seem best for the role. But their role could have gone to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. So it kind of seems like he seemed like the only black man in this entire universe. But it's cool, though. But it still works. So I would definitely give it a 3 for, you know, him as a main character and any other character.
So as far as it goes with recent movie watch recommendations, do you have any?
I would probably say... And I'll say 2. I don't think I mentioned the other one before, because I just recently watched it again for, like, the second or third time, but I watched it with my friends. Old Dracula, I did a review on my Graveyard Shift Sisters blog, so go check that out. I would definitely say watch it. I think it's more, whether you like love it or hate it, it's a movie I feel like that prompts more conversation. Some movie that prompts conversation for what it kind of does, the whole idea of Dracula's wife turning from white to black, which is really interesting. And it's played for comedic purposes, but it also, I think it says a lot about race and race relations that, you know, someone would probably say, well, clearly, but I think it does a lot. It does it in a very unique way, especially for the time when it came out, which I believe was 1974. I'm blanking on the year. But also that, and I did see Unfriended.
Okay.
That was actually a very good movie. I enjoyed myself. It's interesting because when you see movies like that and you see the cast, you don't think, especially as someone who's older, who is not a teenager anymore, who hasn't been a teenager for a very long time, you don't know if you're going to connect with these movies or actually enjoy them. But again, it's a movie more so, it's beyond its constituency. It's really playing on the fears of someone. If you are someone who's entangled in social media, whether it is for work or pleasure or both, that movie is going to affect you in a way, you know, maybe not in a way that is kind of crippling and it kind of incites fear, but it's going to make you think about how this new wave of technology and how it can easily turn against this. And I thought it was super effective the way it was done. So I would say definitely check out Unfriended. Again, if you appreciate horror, I think you can at least appreciate this movie. Now, some people didn't like it, and that's fair. I do think it was a solid film.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Dracula that you watched, which one was it?
It's called Old Dracula. The original title was called Vampira.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's only, I don't think it's on Blu-ray. I have the DVD. You can buy the DVD. It's not, I don't think it's streaming anywhere. I think there's a really crappy copy of it on YouTube that you can watch. But it's, yeah, I'm just trying to think. I think it is 1974.
So it was supposed to be kind of like a comedy.
Yeah, it's definitely a horror comedy.
And then I'm actually surprised that you liked Unfriended. I haven't seen it.
I'm surprised too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews. There were some people who loved it and some people who hated it. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't too sure on it. It came up a bit predictable. It comes off predictable. I don't actually know. I haven't seen it. But I was going to wait to watch it like when it actually comes out on DVD or on TV or so.
I'm going to say see it sooner. I don't think it's predictable at all. There's a lot of little things that they implemented in the movie that make it, that really get under your skin. And there are moments that are actually, they're funny, but they're not like cheap laughs. They are like, it's I can't even describe the kind of funny it is. Like, there's one particular scene I remember that it's something that you're not expecting to happen. Like, I will guarantee you, you're not expecting this scene to happen. Then it happens, and it's funny, but at the same time, it is extremely unnerving. And if you think about it anymore, it is so terrifying. It's really hard to explain. I will tell you, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by it, because there are a lot of things in the movie and the way technology is used, and that's so twisted, and sometimes the beats are like so quick that you really have to pay attention to the movie and see them and kind of remember things that happened in the movie earlier. I'm telling you, it was done very cleverly. Kudos to Blumhouse for putting this together. Yeah, trust me.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll let you know like when I watch it. Hopefully I like it. But I mean, it seems very modern. So I wonder if like people who are like non-horror fans, if they love it as well.
I could see that. I can see people hating it too. I mean, don't go in it thinking that you're going to like the characters. Let me be clear on that. These characters are despicable, but at the same time, they're also teenagers. And mm-hmm. I think we were all despicable teenagers at one point. So that, again, my opinion, of course. But.
Okay. I guess I only have one recommendation, and it's kind of an old one. It was made in 2008. It's called The Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's based off of Clive Barker's short story. And it's the same name. And it's in, like, it's a part of his, one of his books called, like, The Books of Blood. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, basically, like, a mystery horror thriller. And it was directed by a Japanese guy. I forgot his name, unfortunately.
Yeah, I haven't seen this movie since it came out, so it's mm-hmm. been a while, but I do remember enjoying it.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember hearing about it. I think I probably saw it maybe like a year ago, and I remember hearing about it, but I wasn't really interested in it. And then one day I watched it, and I was really surprised how much I really enjoyed it. So it's an actual horror movie. So With a bit of mystery and everything. So, highly recommend it.
Well, that wraps up our show, Zena.
You guys can find me on realqueenofhorror.com. I'm also on Twitter, Lovely Zena. Also, feel free to like Real Queen of Horror on Facebook. It's just, you know, facebook.com/realqueenofhorror, one word. And on Instagram, I love posting random pictures. Mrs. Zena Sade.
Well, I am also on Letterboxd. If you have a Letterboxd account, Graveyard Sister, Instagram, Graveyard Sister, also Twitter, which I'm always on, is Graveyard Sister. It's Graveyard Sister, right? I think so, yeah. And also, like my Facebook page. I don't like to say my, because I feel like, especially for me, I think Gravious Sisters really feels like a community space. I just kind of run things. But, you know, like the Facebook page, See, I don't even remember my URLs. It is facebook.com/GraveyardShiftSisters. Also, you know, visit the site, look, poke around, read some reviews. Feel free to contribute, especially if you're a woman of color. It's a really about, women of color and, you know, our love for the genre and expressing that. So if you're interested in writing an essay or review, holler at me. My email is ashley@graveyardshiftsisters.com. Also, the Tumblr page, which is a big old catalog of women of color and horror, that is tumblr.com. I think it's Tumblr something, but it's Graveyard Shift Sisters on Tumblr. I'm sorry, my URLs are so jacked, but yeah. So that's me and Dina's, you know, our social media platforms. You know, feel free to, you know, talk to us through there and say hello. And if you like the show, if you hate the show, let us know. We also have a podcast email account, so if you want to send us some questions, comments, concerns there. It's girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com. And it's girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com.
All right, thanks for listening.
Yes, we'll be back hopefully in June with a new episode. Sorry this one took so long, but we wanted to really, I think we're both perfectionists, so we wanted things to really flow and be good, and we're trying to get our rhythm. So thanks for hanging in here and being interested and being patient with us as we kind of really get this flu going. So,
yeah. No, I mean, I was good to go. I mean, you said it all. Wow, Ashley, you'll give me seem like I'm just like, hey guys, I'm going with the wind.
No,
I am, but
no, I feel like I mean, I get self-conscious about other people listening to this too, so I don't.